Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The thought of talking to your child about sex can be daunting, but as most parents will know, it's pretty unavoidable and it is completely necessary. And from the early years of those questions, where do babies come from, to adolescent talks about contraception and pornography, it can be a tricky chat to tackle as a family. And I'm joined now by psychotherapist and author Stella O'Malley. Good morning, Stella.
Hello there.
So it is a tricky conversation, but you say it is not just one conversation.
No, it's a kind of continuous conversation, you know, really, from quite a young age, and they ask the first questions. And so if you think, I've had the talk, well, you probably haven't had enough of the talk, if you follow me, because it should be a series of different conversations. Maybe when it comes up in their day-to-day lifestyle, maybe when something comes up in the news, but that you're prepared and ready to kind of, you know, when they're older, to be maybe talking about contraception and porn and consent, and when they're younger, to be able to talk about body parts and how babies come. And so that you realise this isn't just one. This isn't just one conversation when they're eight and good luck and goodbye. Because that's not the way it works.
When does it start, the conversation?
Well, generally the kind of rule of thumb is for it to be child-led when the child asks questions. However, some children don't ask questions, and so we have to kind of give room for that. So let's say children under five, you might only be just teaching them what is the proper name for the penis and the vagina. So it's very direct communication, kind of to free them from any shame and to give them a feeling of confidence that they don't have a silly baby name for these body parts, that they have the adult name. So it's a kind of a feeling of kind of not pride but confidence in when they're talking about their bodies. And then between five and eight, you don't really need to have anything to say to them unless it comes up, and it might come up in their day-to-day life. Somebody might have pulled down their trousers, or somebody might have exposed themselves, you know, another kid or something like that, and where you might talk about consent. And if you don't like something, you're entitled to say no, and you're very much should tell the adult in the room or your mommy and daddy if it's more appropriate, so that they kind of get the idea that there's boundaries around this, and it's quite matter of fact. And if those boundaries are kind of pushed against, the parents need to know. And so you're kind of preparing them for the fact that some people will push against these boundaries.
Yes.
And there's a concept called consent.
And that's,
and
I mean...
it goes for babies onwards, you know.
I mean, what you're talking about there is, you know, your own genitalia, and you're talking to them about that, proper names and all of that. But when it comes to having the conversation... answering the question, but where do babies come from? But how did the baby get into the tummy? How does the baby get out of the tummy? I mean, do you explain all of that to them when they are seven or eight, or are you at risk of terrifying them?
I think you're at risk of terrifying them no matter when you tell them, because when you step back, it's just such an extraordinary concept that if you haven't any idea of it and you were 37, you'd go, really? Wow, that's extraordinary. So, you know, that risk is there inherent in it. But, you know, often they ask in the strangest places, like you're in the queue at Tesco and they'll suddenly say, but where do babies come from? Because it occurs to them. And a lot of people... because it'll be in a strange place that they ask, the instinct often is to shush them down, and then they feel they've missed the opportunity. Go back, you know what I mean? So you might shush them down because you're mortified because it's in front of your mother or something like that, and you're just pregnant. but what you could do is go back. So you might be in the car going home or later that night, and you say, you remember you asked me that, and I got all embarrassed, it was silly. But I do want to bring it up because actually it's very important information. And what happens is, like, every woman, well, most women have eggs inside them, and the men have sperm. And when the sperm and the egg mixes, the babies can grow from that. And it's an amazing act to think that everybody in the world has come from a mixture of egg and sperm. And some people might, like, write in now and say, yeah, well, hang on, it might come in through IVF. It's still a mixture. It's the same mixture. Mm-hmm. So you might start with step one is there's sperm from the male and there's eggs from the women, from the female, and from that children are born. And then they might ask, they might look curious, or they might like, yeah, okay, right, step one, got it. And you kind of, like I say, you're led by them. If they're that little bit older, if they're eight or nine, yeah, I would actually go further. and explain how it happens. And you could say it can be so beautiful and it can be such a loving act and it can be so amazing to think actual babies come from, you know, one of the most pleasant acts in the world. And at the height of the man, when he is making love with the woman, that's when the sperm comes out. That's like extraordinary. But also women have a height, even though that doesn't mean it's through their eggs. It's funny, it's disconnected. And you could kind of be a little bit funny, but there are equal rights and there's such a thing as a clitoris. And women also get their height and their climax during the sex act, if they wish. And so you're kind of explaining quite a matter of fact without being too technical. Because it's complicated. Like, if you told that same 8-year-old all of that, what I've just said, and then moved on to periods and the lining of the womb and every month, I believe, and I've certainly heard anecdotally, the kids lose all thread of it. They're like, oh, my God, mm-hmm. so many things going on. Because it is complicated. So you might go back another while and then at some other point bring up hormones, the impact of estrogen, the impact of testosterone, how it affects our moods, what it does with women, what it does with men. Like, there's a huge amount beyond just periods and hair. There's a huge amount to say about just hormones for, you know, a girl being moody or testosterone kind of fueled rage. They're interesting and that helps the child when they learn things like that.
Now, my listener says, I've been discussing sex with my children since the age of 3. Mummy Laid an Egg is a fantastic book. Have you heard of that one, Stella?
Yeah, I've heard of that one, and there are so many books, and they're so good. And I really think every parent who's listening should, you know, get the books and get the age-appropriate books. So you might say, talking sex to an 8-year-old, talking sex to a 6-year-old, to a 10-year-old, whatever age, mm-hmm. and get the book that's relevant. So no matter when you do speak about it, and like I say, you might get caught in the hop and not manage it at that moment. When you come back, have a book, or certainly give a talk, and then a few days later, you know, organise to buy the book, and when it comes in, say, there's that book that you should, and everybody, not everybody, huge amount of people say, yeah, he didn't look interested in the book, and then I found the book slid down the side of his bed, so he was reading, his instinct was not to let on.
To show any interest. This listener's daughter is 10, and this person says, I want to be the one to tell her about sex. I think she's ready, but I'm also at a crossroads because she's still very innocent when it comes to other things in life.
I think this association with innocence and sex is kind of an inappropriate leap. And I know it's the classic Adam and Eve, but you can retain your innocence because it can be spoken about in a kind of very beautiful way. If you follow me, she doesn't have to, like, the lack of innocence is when somebody becomes a bit hardened to the darkness that's in the world and the terrible thing that's happened. So I think, yeah, go with it, but explain it in a lovely way. So kind of maybe keep it in the kind of the pleasant side of sex and the pleasant, beautiful, because it is a beautiful act, mm-hmm. to bring in that. And maybe leave her with that for a little while. So she knows the mechanics, but you haven't just said, oh my God, there's concepts such as rape and things like that, that you're kind of allowing her to kind of slowly come around to different things. By the way, just on the concepts such as rape and child abuse, make sure you start with that around boundaries and consent, as opposed to talking about rape and child abuse, that you talk about, you know, people trying to do something you don't want to do. And it's very important you learn to use your strong voice and you say no and you go to mommy and daddy. So it's our mommy or daddy. So that they realise that applies to everything. That applies to the kid in the schoolyard who's robbing their lunch. It applies to everything. That they learn that there are boundaries of steel around you. When somebody comes in on your boundaries, you need to speak up. And then you need to seek help.
Stella, Adrian in Dublin says, we're having a typically Irish conversation about sex ed, completely focused on the act. The Dutch education system starts sex ed with young kids focusing on relationships, self-worth and their sexuality. It's completely different to the Irish ostrich approach. What do you say to that?
Okay. I didn't think we were, because I thought we were talking about boundaries and consent.
I thought we were being quite open about it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the approach of old. But I think certainly I know from my children coming home from school and the questions that they're asking and the conversations that we're having, that these chats are happening very early on. And it's very different to how maybe you or I would have grown up, Stella.
Yeah, I think this whole idea of focusing on the mechanics has kind of gone out with the ARC. I don't think that's happening anymore, and certainly it shouldn't be happening anymore because we're way beyond that. Because when you go into the mechanics and you tell them the mechanics, but you've only told a fraction of the whole story because, like I say, consent and boundaries is a very important one. And then pornography and sexting and inappropriate online images, that has to be brought up in and around the age of 10 or so because it's coming to them. And they will learn about it, and people are going to send them inappropriate images, and they're going to be asked to share them, and they need to know their what's what around that.
Yeah, it's very young, though, isn't it?
It is very young, but it's happening very young, so I don't see it being avoidable, and it's rather, I'd rather equip them. Mm-hmm. It does feel very young, but I have to say, like, if you look, if you trace, and I did trace the age of menarche, the age of the onset of periods, and from, like, in 1840, it was an average about 16, and then in the 1990s, the average was about 13. And now in the US, and we're not far behind, the average for period onset is 11.
Yes, so you need to be ready. Listen, Stella,
Those girls are often not emotionally prepared for the complications of periods. It's very difficult for them.
Well, that's our job, isn't it? That's our job to do that. Stella, given the reaction that we've had to this, I think we're going to have to come back and have a further conversation. Thank you so much for your time. Thanks to everyone who texted in. And I promise you, we will come back to this on the programme. Now, though, we are, after this break, going to have The Gathering.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.